Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Ch-ch-chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My foot fountains got me drinking. My foot fountains got me drinking. Give me beer, whiskey, wine, or gin. Anything. Shake this mood I'm in. My foot fountains got me drinking.
Back at it again, fresh off a Peter Vermees press conference. This is the Shades of Blue Soccer Show. My name is Cody Bradley. I am joined by Thad Bell. And from no other pod, we've got the man himself, Jimmy, is here.
What's up? How's it going?
So, were you... I know Thad was on there. I heard Thad ask a question. Jimmy, were you on part of that call at all?
Or I did not ask a working? Question. I was half listening, half working.
Yeah. I was on a walk with the dog. That was my only opportunity to do so. I was about to ask a question with like dogs barking in the background. But thankfully, someone asked the question that I was on there adamantly waiting for, which was just for an update on Alan Pulido. And he gave one. He was quick to be like, guys, I wasn't being coy about this.
Yeah, but you notice it took four tries to actually get that info.
It took
four questions to actually get that info.
I know. Like, I'm not saying they were being coy or that there was anything nefarious, but, you know, it was funny. Like he said, the first thing he said was, I'm not being coy. Well, then why did it take four questions to actually get this answer out? Like,
the leadoff question was about it. The second question, it was a double question, including that.
I know.
The fourth question asked like, something around that.
It was still just like, oh yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah.
They're being especially like secretive this year regarding anything injury related.
Well, they're allowed to. That's like kind of what I think the only difference is. Like, yeah, they've always loved to control the flow of information. I think it's now these protocols are allowing them to do so.
Every year they're getting a little bit more secretive about it. I think probably in about two more years, they won't even put out a lineup. They'll just like 11 guys will run on the field and you'll be surprised by who they are.
Yeah.
Well, see, I thought it would go the other way. You know, like wouldn't as the sport becomes more popular, they can't, you know, there's more press asking questions. There's more, you know, there's more people asking questions. It seems like they would have to, it would go the other way on releasing more information.
Maybe. I don't know. But it seems like Thad said, like Peter is just like locking down anything. Cause I think was it last year where they decided like, we're not going to put out the formation graphic.
Yep.
And then it was because of public pressure. It seemed like that they finally were like, okay, we'll put out a formation graphic, but it's going to be like 2 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah. And they do the lineup and then right before, you know, kickoff there, we would see something else.
I think that stemmed from a game where they played Madranda, like, in a really out of the ordinary position for him.
I mean,
like center forward or something like that.
Well, and it was that, you're right. And it was that game. It was also, they like showed a different formation or something. And so that's why people were like asking the question all of a sudden. And then they were like, they were just like, God, it's not a big deal. Like, what are you talking about? Like, who cares what the picture was on the lineup that we put out?
That was, were you in the elevator, I think, with me, Cody, when we asked Robo, like, so no lineup graphic? Yeah. And he was just like, what is it, a slow news day?
Yeah, like, yeah. He was, they were just annoyed that we were like even curious about
it. People like their graphics.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many people actually like wait for that to come out just so that it's something to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Now instead we all got to argue for 45 minutes over, is this still going to be a 4-3-3 or is this going to be a 4-3-2-1 or is this a 5-4-1 or whatever?
And because of COVID, we have the game on the weekend and then we have an entire week without like being able to have any questions answered or anything like that until a press conference on Friday. But to their credit, they answered, he answered.
Yep.
And then we also got an update on – you know, everybody else. It sounds like the for me, the main point of the presser that I got was that he said Roger Espinoza appears to be the only one that he would label as questionable. So that indicates to me that everyone would be technically available for selection, but he was still talking about being cautious and, you know, stuff like that. So
do you take that as, you know, does that include whichever first team player tested positive? Have they already cleared that protocol?
They have not.
Okay.
He was asked that question in the presser and they are partway through it. So whoever that was.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That player has not joined the team yet.
He actually went into really good. I'm going to try to write that up later, but he went into actually pretty good about it. It takes like around 18 days to go from testing positive to being cleared as long as they, you know, had no other symptoms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that also means Elie might be, I know that it wasn't technically an injury, or at least we were never informed that it was an injury. I don't believe. I think the last I heard is he left with a family emergency, I thought.
Yeah. And I think with him being back, he probably had to quarantine for a little while, get tested a couple times, and then he has to go back to training. So even though he might be available, I wouldn't say shocked if he started training because he's a guy I could probably just walk back in. But, you know, if you haven't played for a month, haven't practiced for a month, however long it's been now.
And Bulio's been doing a pretty decent job at that number six spot. He's been getting better defensively every game, I thought. Yep. So, you know, it's not going to be a thing where, you know, it's just a cut and dry, oh, yeah, it's Elie's spot right away if Bulio keeps doing what he's been doing.
Yeah, that was the subject of our pod a couple shows ago. And I was about to actually ask that question. I was about to raise my hand, and then he said our last two questions, so I didn't. But I was going to, you know, I was about to ask if he had an expected return date for Elie. But yeah, that it'll be interesting. I think Thad was on team start Bucio no matter what. I think I would still, you know, if Roger's not available, I think I would still prefer to move Bucio up in the midfield and have Elie start behind him, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a question there, but so much of it depends on who's in front of him too and who else is available. I'm liking Bucio there, though. I mean, he could be used elsewhere, but I'm really liking him there.
Yeah,
I'll just be glad to have Elie back because – we just at this point need like warm bodies in the midfield.
Exactly.
Because there's just nobody. Like if Bucio went down, like Juan Kazan, I guess, can step in and play the six, but he hasn't been playing with the first team much at all in recent history. So it's just nice to have extra depth.
Or the second team.
Or the, yeah. So I don't know what's going on there.
So, and then I guess the other thing we learned was that Shelton's injury appears to not be serious, and he sounds like he should be ready for selection as well.
Yeah, that sounds good. I really like what he's bringing to the table. I mean, even, you know, he's looked so good on the wing, but even when he started at center forward, he just looked like he's just full of so much more confidence than he was a couple years ago when he played so much at center forward. And
yes, I agree with that. So much more than he'd had 2 years ago. But there were two plays in that game that he had, you know, a big opportunity, and it just looked like he didn't know what to do. Like, he wasn't all the way sure of himself in the center forward position. I think he would almost rather be on the wing.
Yeah, I think it's definitely his best spot on the wing, but
which is surprising to me, but I agree with that.
Yeah, and by the way, the official pregame injury report came out, and it includes Sanchez, Espinoza, Gutierrez, and Shallowy.
Well, yeah, Shallowy is who we suspect is the positive COVID test, I think, right? That's who I am suspecting.
That was definitely one suspicion. I know some people thought maybe Sanchez, but I don't know if he was seen at the last game or not. Some people – I wasn't able to see people from where I was at, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so FC Dallas again.
So this will they – you know, concede possession and out being outshot and just try to throw bodies in front of the ball again?
Well, that's what is so interesting for me about this game. I mean, obviously this is at Children's Mercy Park again, and Sporting KC, one could argue, was the superior team in the first go around, even though it was a 1-1 draw. And even though Sporting KC technically got outshot on target 5-3, if you look at the shot chart from like the MLS.com match center, and you can remember this from the game, there were so many shots that were going to be on target that were just blocked either at the point of impact or,
oh yeah,
you know, even heck 6, 7, 8 yards away, because Dallas defenders were just throwing their bodies and getting smacked in the ribs with the ball and having like ball markings on their ribs because Buzio tattooed it so hard, or Felipe or whoever.
Yeah, that's a – oh, now I forgot that guy's name. What's that meme, the guy that keeps getting hit in the face in volleyball and soccer? Oh, I even tweeted about him during that game.
I do not know. You're more online
Scott,
than I
Scott
am.
Sterling. Apparently. Scott Sterling. There we go.
It'll be interesting to see if Sporting KC can replicate the offensive pressure that they had in that game. I don't know that the strategy that Dallas had was sustainable, but
– I didn't think it was sustainable in that game, but it
worked because they scored early and it took Sporting forever to tie it up.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason it worked well for them. If Sporting scores early, then it doesn't. But they were time wasting from the 10th minute.
Yeah.
You know, slow walking the ball, touching it away. And, you know, I'm going to sound like Vermees now, but the ref was doing nothing to slow that down.
Yeah. Right. He was picking at him because the mic hears everything. He was like picking at the side ref the whole game about that too.
It's been a little bit since we've beaten Dallas in the regular season. I mean, I think it's going back to October 2018.
Man, it really feels like it.
So, I mean, with SKC still sitting as of this recording in first place in the West, I mean, it depends on what Seattle does Friday night, I guess. But these points in Dallas, they had a big win. They're kind of surging with a game or two in hand. Like, this is kind of a big game for Sporting KC to take all 3 points if we want to hold on to that, you know, first, second place spot in the West.
Yeah, just like that. The Minnesota game also, I didn't really realize until after they had won and looked at the standings, like how big that one was as well. Yeah, all of these games are, man.
Classic 6-pointers.
Yeah.
What scares me about, like, so if you look at Sporting KC's expected goals from the last however many games, like, they've actually been doing pretty decent the last 2-3 games. They've been winning, you know, on the XG, but there's just something that they're not getting that finishing last little finish and putting the ball actually in the net as much as they should be or as is expected. And like you said, I think an early goal is so important against Dallas to prevent from what happened last time from happening again. And even against Minnesota, when I thought SKC were clearly the superior team, it took until the 80th minute and Johnny Russell breaking free on what was kind of a defensive breakdown for Sporting KC to get past Dane St. Cloud. So,
yeah, but we always do bad against, you know, young, inexperienced keepers. So,
yeah, that's true.
They somehow become supermen.
That it's definitely a trend that has happened all the way back to, what was it, in the Champions League game last year? At least
no, like for far past, way past that, like Sean Johnson was the best keeper
Sean
in the
Johnson's
world.
Career.
He was the best keeper in the world when he played Sporting.
All right. So, yeah, we're recording this midday. I think everybody's got to get back to work. I do. I'm kind of playing hooky at the moment in my own room. So, yeah, everybody got any final thoughts here, gentlemen?
I think my final thought will be it's going to be interesting to see. I think Zobek, or whatever his name is, going to be starting for Dallas again. And he was, you know, fine when he came in. He came in against SKC, but, you know, can he keep it up? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Okay, thank you for joining me today, guys. I know it's not easy midday. So, yeah, we're going to get back to work. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Blue Testament KC, and join us at thebluetestament.com and leave us a comment, and we'll talk to you next week. Go Sporting!
Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking.